Agile for Humans is brought to you by Audible.com. Get one free audiobook and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/agile. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, including Scrum, The Art of Doing Twice the Work in Half the Time by Jeff Sutherland, and Crucial Conversations by Kerry Patterson. Visit www.audibletrial.com/agile to enjoy your free audiobook today.
Processes and tools dominate today's Agile discussions, but we are devoted to the individuals and interactions that make it work. From the beginner to the veteran practitioner, we have something for you. Welcome to Agile for Humans.
All right, welcome to this episode of Agile for Humans. This is a special one. We're actually down in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm with Billy Schutpeltz and Kim Brainerd, Agile Brain, Brain on Agile, all that stuff, right? Did I get it?
I think that's about right. Brainiac, yeah.
Brainiac, Brainerd, Brilliant.
Brilliant
Brainerd.
Brilliant Brain.
Okay, good.
Yes. There you go.
So we're down in Indy. We're all speaking at the Agile Indy Conference this year. And before we got started, I think we'll just pull this into the show. We're just talking about how amazing it is what they put together here. We just got through the first half of the conference. We all gave our talks, so now it's a collective sigh of relief, and we're able to just chat. Got through the lunch. It's just phenomenal what Agile Indy has put together. My mind's blown. I'm in the Chicago market. I haven't seen anything like that up there. I know, Kim, you're all over the country. Have you seen just such a local meetup group turn into just something this big?
No, I haven't. So I recently co-chaired the Scrum Gathering in San Diego about a month ago, where we had about 1,100 attendees. And the gathering went off well, but then I went right over to Big Apple Scrum Day, where we had almost 300. And then also over to Europe, to their local meetups in London. And I'd have to say, wow, Indy really brought it this year. Yeah. We have almost 700 attendees here. Yeah. And the energy, the conversations, mm-hmm. The food, yes. The opening keynote, round of applause. My hat goes off to this group. Bring it to the center of the country, and you guys definitely have gotten it done.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's awesome. Yeah. There's been really good conversation in all the sessions that I've popped into. Just the energy and everything that everyone's talking about and interacting together is amazing. Yeah.
It's a pretty cool vibe. Mm-hmm. It feels like, especially in Indy, there's just a large group of people who really want to adopt Agile and who really want to understand this. And my no estimates session, normally it's a very confrontational, people want to argue.
Yeah.
And in this case, there were just really good questions. The people really were embracing the content. They were thinking about it. There was just a good, like you said, a good energy in the room. And I think you guys saw the same things in your sessions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We started it off with fun because our brains are gonna. We learn when we're having fun. So that's how we started off the neuroscience of communication coaching to impact this morning with fun. And even the one woman had a great question during one of the exercises. And she's like, so when is it okay to respond?
Yeah.
And I love that question.
Because, we were practicing. So the exercise is we were practicing listening and being present. And Kim was walking us through, as coaches, we need to really actually hear what they're saying and not just completely respond instantaneously with what's going on in our head. So that was the exercise. And then we were talking about the woman's question was, should we be that silent? Because in the exercise, we weren't allowed to speak at all, and that was really awkward. And you explained really well that no, that wasn't your point.
Oh, absolutely not. It's just about being present, being in the moment, and taking your thoughts away from everything that you've been at previously and being there with that individual.
Yeah, and I loved what Kim said after that. Like, part of your debrief on that was about that as a coach, we can take information in and then we can go home and think on it and come back the next day and have some aha moments. And that actually happened to me recently, just last week, actually. So some managers had given me some information about one of the women on the team. And in the moment, I was absorbing it all. I was pondering it. And it wasn't until that night that I went home and I thought, why don't we make her a tech lead? Like, that's everything they just said, was that this woman wants to be a tech lead. She has all the skills. We all love her. What's holding us back? And that was my aha solution. I mean, it's not an aha, but I needed to rest on it, like you said. Like,
brain break.
Yes, taking a brain break. And then the next day I could go and I presented that, and they were all like, oh, that was so obvious. Why didn't any of us see that to begin with? So, yeah.
It's that pause, and it's something that I think we've talked about on the podcast in the past, especially through the responsibility process with Christopher Avery, where it's just taking in information and then pausing mm-hmm. is so important. And it's, for me especially, I have a hair trigger on a response, mm-hmm. and that can get you in trouble. There are some times where I make the wrong answer very quickly, so at least I'm efficiently wrong. But it's just amazing how you take a moment, you pause, or even like what we're saying, you just go to sleep. Like, we were all talking last night. So a common speaker thing, we'll give a little inside baseball. None of us are prepared.
Right?
Yes. So yes. We're all just
pull back the curtain.
Yeah, pull back the curtain a bit. When you see one of us give a talk, I think we all have been doing this long enough, the talks look polished. I think we all do a really nice job presenting and taking questions, and it all looks very easy. It's like, I always compare it to watching, here's a sports reference, Ernie Els in his swing, the Big Easy. This very large man that just makes a very, like, oh, I could do that swing, and hits it 300 yards. And I think a lot of us do that, but on the inside, we're all hating ourselves and hating our talks and moving our slides around. And the night before is a wreck at every speaker dinner.
Yes.
It's, my slides aren't good enough. I'm not good enough. This imposter syndrome creeps
totally
in.
Everywhere.
And it's just fascinating how I think most of us left that dinner and just said, you know what, enough. I'm just going to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so everyone went their separate ways. Everyone just let their minds rest a little bit. And I think the next morning we all figured out the kinks in our talks, worked them out, and they all went great. So it's just fascinating to me how, you know, if you just, how much progress you can make by just doing nothing for a little bit, and how that's so counterintuitive, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, the rest and the relaxation just brings our brains back to life, I think.
Yeah.
But what I love is that the speaker community, it's like we're all there for each other to remind each other of that, hey, no, you got this, we're good. It's all the things that internally in ourselves we have trouble pulling out. But yeah, like you're right, at the speaker dinner, everyone's saying the same thing, and we're all reassuring each other.
Yeah, I walked in there and we sat down, and I think it was you that's Billy that said, my slides aren't done. I'm like, oh, thank God. I'm not the only procrastinator. It wasn't even that.
Right.
It's that, you know, we're really needing to also inspect our ways and eat our own dog food. And you saved the day and said, Kim, what's your MVP?
Right.
And so at 4:10 this morning, as I'm sitting there, that's 4:10 a.m., MVP, MVP, MVP. And
and nobody then, wants Billy's voice in their head at 4:10 a.m.
I'm like, that's it, MVP, and let's get it done and keep it.
It's amazing how much all of that applies even to the public speaking, to workshops that we're giving. It applies so much as a coach because we talk so much and we pull so many things out of the air. We're constantly improvising. But keeping that MVP in our mind of what's our minimum sentence, what's our minimum slice of learning, what's our minimum anything that we're trying to give the client, rather than
delivery.
Just blowing air, blowing hot air. So
it's emergence, right? And what I find interesting is so many of us think that we can, and I'll just speak for myself. I'll sit down and write a whole talk and put together an hour worth of slides and pretend like I know what people want to hear or what they need to hear or what's valuable to them. And then you start giving the talk and the first question pops up and you realize, wow, I did not nail this at all. And it's just had me thinking about the way we give talks, the way we do trainings, the way that we communicate with other people. Should we be showing up with a preconceived notion and a complete deck? Or should we just lay down? It's kind of like the open space idea, right? Mm-hmm. Here's a concept that I'm interested in. Now let something happen, you know, and it's, I'm kind of starting to get at odds with this, where it's, I used to really like having all this prep work and this idea that I could have this control, but then I'm also falling into the same trap that I argue against, right? You can't control everything with estimates or planning, and you have to let things emerge. But at the same time, I mean, we're not even doing that at some points, you know?
Well, I was going to say, so today we did, coaches are truly Broadway actors. we're improvising. We're constantly improvising. Not even coaches. I mean, if you're a manager, if you're a mother, if you're a father, if you have friends, I mean, we're always having to improvise. I mean, there's just certain, if you have traffic, you have to improvise.
Right.
And so it's important for us to practice how we improvise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and what came to mind for me, Ryan, as you were talking, is I feel like we all swing on a pendulum as speakers, as workshop facilitators, as any of that, where we want to start out very prepared, almost in the perfectionist world. Yeah. And then there is another one, another pendulum swing where you don't prepare at all. And I don't know that many people operate well in either one of those edges. And so kind of what I'm trying to bring to the conference is that middle ground of laying out a light framework, laying out some light exercises, some flow, but being able to pivot in the middle of that and go with what the audience wants. So
well, it's more compelling, I think, to hold a little bit of space for the attendee.
Yeah.
And give them the opportunity to have a little bit of influence, because I think that drives engagement. You know, and I think, Kim, this is one of your specialty areas. I know you're a big proponent and actually a trainer of teaching from the back of the room.
Yes, absolutely.
And so as you've made that transition, because I think we all start with the PowerPoint, kind of, you know, the wall of text, and we start from there. But as you've transitioned to training from the back of the room, and now you're not only a practitioner but a trainer, have you seen improved engagement and quality and feedback from your talks?
I have, absolutely.
You know what, let's pause just for a second. So if you're not familiar with training from the back of the room, can you give the listeners like the 30-second, here's what it is?
Absolutely. It's really allowing yourself, whether you're a coach, whether you're a project manager, whether you just are a presenter or a teacher, an educator in the education world, it's literally allowing individuals, one, self-correct. The best way we learn is if we are learning to teach others. And so getting individuals involved, that collaboration together, is just rings more powerful than anything. And as someone who's facilitating, the best facilitator is the one that steps back and lets the audience engage. And the magic that happens is indescribable. And training from the back of the room will take you into your right brain, release that subconscious mind, and that creativity is going to go through the roof. It's awesome. And it's you as an individual that creates that reality for yourself. And then you take that reality and you bring it into your organization, whether it's a classroom or whether you're presenting. But we don't want to sit there and read paragraph after paragraph. Sometimes it's nice to have visuals, but we learn by doing.
Yes, learn by doing. Mm-hmm. How have you seen your sessions improve? Like, did you do sessions before you started training in the back of the room, and then?
So I've always been an individual that's, I can't be in a cage. When I was in school, I can't say I was the best student because I had this thing in front of me. In fact, I was telling you in another podcast, I was told to sit there, be quiet, and I'm like, you know, it's like a noose almost. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, okay, I'm sitting there, I have to be quiet. It's not natural, and it really has to do a lot with brain science. So when I learned about this thing called the brain, one of the most useful muscles that is not truly utilized because we're completely outsourcing it, I'm like, okay, well, I can really use this little 3-pound muscle and understand what it needs in order to help me be a better trainer and facilitator. And so when I took these concepts and I was teaching these tools and techniques in the course, I've had individuals and they're like, oh my God, thank you so much. You know, my students pass. They all pass a test. And I'm like, what did you do? And they said, well, they began talking to each other.
Wow.
And I'm like,
wow.
They never spoke before? And I'm like, no, you know, they sat behind that desk, that little school desk that we all had. Aww. And she said that they put their desks together.
Good.
And that every 20 minutes she allowed, had them get up and do some certain different exercise.
Yes,
and I'm like,
exactly.
That's so cool.
Yes.
Because our brains need a break every 10 minutes. Let's adjust our ways. Let's change it up. Stand up, sit down, move around, illustrate, find the way that you can communicate with individuals. And so it provides a way to reach certain individuals, no matter who you are, and discover the best way that you can learn and then take that back with you.
And that's where the MVP comes in, though. And that's why I said that to you last night, because I also tell people, like, no more teaching or slide presentation, no more content than 20 minutes, hopefully less, and then get them up to move. But the problem that people have is then how do they take all the content they want to teach and figure out those 20-minute slices? Like, that's what I find. That's the MVP slices in learning.
We use the 4 C's in training from the back of the room. So you want that connection. You really first need to get that connection, which is why it's like, okay, what's going on that's going to connect me to either the space you're in, that individual where you become present with that individual. So you need that connection. And then we take that 4 C's map that walks you through the principles of training from the back of the room. So it's really fun.
So along with connection, you have...
You have your concepts.
Okay.
And so basically that you have the concepts, and we should... You could also attend the course to really get into the...
I will come out. I'll catch your next course.
Absolutely.
I'll give it a shot.
We have one in Baltimore, June 26th and 27th. I should know that.
It's probably on a website somewhere.
Hey, it's on my short list of trainings to do. I believe in it. Even the talk I just gave, they put us in a massive room. It's filled with people. I can't stand behind a podium. Yeah. Like, I'm a free range speaker.
Yes.
I have to move around. And actually, I like going out into the audience and then having a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe that, like, I should be at the front pontificating about something for an hour and, okay, stop talking, be quiet. Now, if they want to talk about a concept or something that I've brought up, let's have that conversation. That's going to be more valuable than any slide that I came up with, you know, 3 months ago while I was starting to put this talk together for this speaking cycle. You know, so I totally agree with it. I like the visuals, so I like just having a picture. Like, if I can talk about a concept and put a funny little picture up, you get that laugh. And what it does is, I think, make people shift a little bit in their seat, and then they're awake again.
Yep.
And I think that's critical. So I see a lot of congruence there. Very happy to check that out. So I appreciate you explaining that.
Yeah, in the session today, we had Play-Doh out and just little odds and ends, fidgety things.
Yeah, you got to keep them awake. Adults need to multitask. They need to have something in their hands while they're learning and staying awake. Yeah.
People probably wondered what the heck it was for, but it was just, hey, if you want to play with Play-Doh, dig in and dough away.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they're curious, they're listening. And so I think that's critically important too. You know, as a new speaker, I remember worrying about not having enough content. Right. And so I would jam a talk together with 1,000 different concepts that no one's going to remember.
Right. Yeah.
And so part of it's not very intuitive to think, well, really, you have time like we just had a 50-minute session. You can do a quick introduction. You have time for about 3 big points, and then some Q&A and wrap up. And that's all you have.
And hopefully some activity in between
three
points. Yeah, exactly.
You know, activities to bring those maybe 3,
maybe,
more
yeah.
like 2, and that's it. And I think once you learn that lesson, you leave that space, you allow for emergence. You know, we're not stand-up comics. And so we're not supposed to give the same talk every time and have it look like it's off the cuff. Like, they are great performers. Yeah. They've worked that material, you know, and some of them will give the same stand-up with a few minor tweaks 100 times across the country. That's not, I think, what we're there to do, right? So we're there to be present. You know, we started with the idea of being present. We're there to figure out who's in our audience, have that situational awareness, make the pivots and the changes as we go. But the only way to do that is to leave space to realize that, right?
There's another concept I talk about, holding the space, and it's really hard to describe. I don't know if you guys have heard of that concept before, but like, that's kind of what I'm doing, is I'm trying to sense the energy in the room and who the participants in the audience is, because like you said, we're supposed to respond to them. And the only way you're going to be able to do that and be able to shift where you need to shift is if you're consciously aware of what's going on in that third dimension. So yeah, I really like that concept, and I think it helps us not be the stand-up comics that are just repeating the presentation every single time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I think it's a more agile way to give a talk, and that's where, you know, again, I think Bob Galen did a really neat, so we were all like, well, Kim wasn't. She didn't make it. But we were at Coach Camp.
We missed her at
and,
Coach
and
Camp.
And Bob gave this, he held this session about coaches eating their own dog food, right? And really about coaches actually practicing what they preach. And I'm just starting to come around on this whole presentation idea that we are using Waterfall to give talks.
Right.
Not the collective we, just as a, in general. And I think there's some ways that we can influence the way that we present information to people. Mm-hmm. I think it can be influenced by the manifesto, and it should be, right? So if we value individuals and interactions over processes and tools, well, then we should be interacting instead of relying on PowerPoint as a tool.
What a concept.
Right, right.
Wow.
And maybe that's a stretch to some, but I think there's ways, and I think it's interesting that the two of you are really kind of pioneering this path of, we're going to get away from all that process and tooling and the bricks of text on a slide and really going into more that engagement. Mm-hmm. Like if I can get that one person in the moment to just see that light bulb go, then it's worth traveling to give the talk, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's funny to watch the people in the room because in the same way that when coaches go into an organization, they have to shift depending on the culture of the organization. It's the same when you're trying to bring what I call active learning or activities and exercises into a conference setting, because not everybody is used to that. So there's some people that want to come to a conference and literally just want to sit there and absorb information from a speaker who's an expert and who has a bunch of PowerPoint slides. Like, and I still find that fascinating because that's not my learning style at all. But it's just kind of, I think, like you said, we're trying to forge the way into some new styles in the conferences, in the conference world, and make them a lot more active. But there will be holdouts. There will be learning styles and people that really still just want the expert speaker at the front of the room.
So if people, I know there's a lot of speakers that listen to the show, and I know that, you know, hopefully they're listening thinking, wow, what are some ideas I could incorporate? What are some resources that people could go to learn about, you know, exercises in a talk, way to engage? I know Sharon Bowman's her work, training from the back of the room. I mean, I think the book is available. People could look there. But
absolutely.
What are sources or resources that the two of you go to when you're trying to figure out that next idea or kind of that tweak to a workshop that just gets people more engaged, present, and actually using their mind?
So I have two things. And it was interesting because I almost went against it for this last session that I just did here. And what rang to me was stay true to yourself, and real life stories are more impactful.
Yes.
Don't go off the beaten path. You don't want to be a textbook. You want to be your own story. Mm-hmm. And people want to hear your story, not someone else's. Mm-hmm. And so I find that when a speaker tells that story where they can bring the audience in, that's truly powerful. And then the second thing that I was introduced to, and I it's in my sessions and a lot of the sessions that I do, which is improv, but it was interesting to me I'm on my CST journey, and one of my CSTs that I'm working with said, hey, Kim, before we go and do the Cal One course, we need to sign up for this improv class. And I'm like, huh? I mean, I know how to do improv.
Yeah.
But no, it's let's do improv together. So when we're going to pair coach together, that we've been on stage and we've had that moment.
That's so good.
And we're both stepping out of a world that we know and into a world that's unknown and into someone else's classroom. So that's awesome.
That's
to really step out of your own world and improv with someone that you may be pair coaching with or co-training with.
Yeah.
It was a great learning experience.
That's cool.
So I think the listeners will remember we had Jesse Sterenschus on, who's at the Agile Improv.
I love her book.
She's great. Her book's wonderful. She had Amitai and I doing some exercises, and from the feedback we got, we've had a lot of people laughing at us, but it was a lot of fun, and it actually gave Amitai and I the confidence to co-present in New York. It gave us, yeah. I mean, plus we doing this podcast together, I think we've mm-hmm. gotten fairly good at riffing off of each other, and it, yeah. it worked out. But I, you know, improv is just popping up everywhere. Even where I work now in Chicago, we have Second City come in and give improv courses to the entire yeah. company. So we work together in improv situations, and it's good icebreaking. It's good, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many people now that you can't know everybody, but if you're doing these improv exercises, it forms those bonds. Mm-hmm. Then you start talking about, you know, the kind of work that each other's doing, and suddenly it's, you have these cross-pollinated ideas yeah. that, mm-hmm. hey, we need to get back together after this and work on this idea. And it just, it's one of those, again, where it feels counterintuitive. Why are we having improv at a tech company? But then suddenly these traditional introverts are up doing these exercises, and it's, oh, we're going to go talk now. And it really has yeah. increased collaboration. It's improved relationships. It was just fascinating what an impact, you know, this, mm-hmm. I mean, it's from the beginning of time, we've been improvising.
There's something about being goofy together. Like, yeah. we just need that. We need that as adults, and we need to step out into, you know, step beyond the fourth wall that we all have with each other and be goofy and just have fun together and play, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's interesting. I was going to say, and this is the last thing I'll say about it, but executives, believe it or not, it's okay as long as you, if you have executives yeah. or leadership, and how the ice-breaking exercise with them mm-hmm. is interesting, because they don't want to necessarily see it as fun and games, mm-hmm. but once they put their toe in the water,
yeah.
when to see them open up,
they
is
go full out. Like, yeah.
some of the best improv yes, has been some, yes, from a C, you know, yes. the CIO of the company, and I'm
yes.
like,
yeah,
you know, sweet.
I know. I got a CIO to do some Bollywood dancing on video, so that
that's
was
a
fun.
Win.
And he was good at it. Like, that's what we didn't even know. We were like, "Oh my goodness, you're really good at that."
But it's so interesting too. I would assume the teams then made a stronger connection to that executive, and suddenly
absolutely.
It's not someone throwing down commands. This is a person who has
yeah.
funny quirks and
right.
things too, and
yes.
it just
they're human, yeah,
absolutely,
agile and humans. We all are.
Thankfully,
yeah.
we all
yeah.
are, right?
So I got a couple more resources. You brought up the
yeah,
resources
yeah.
thing, yeah. So one of the books that transformed me was Sam Kaner's Facilitator's Guide to Participatory Decision Making.
Okay.
And it sounds like it wouldn't be about facilitating, but it really is. He has a lot of really good things about flow and how to lay out your sessions in there. So I love the Sam Kaner book. Obviously, the Lisa Atkins stuff and Diana Larson and Esther Derby. I used yep. to go on YouTube and watch a ton of their videos. Like, so I'm not much of a reader of a literal book. I like audio and visual learning.
Yeah.
So the YouTube videos are amazing. And then my background is in, my master's is in adult learning. So it was in that I learned about the 20-minute cycle. Like, don't do any more content than 20 minutes, and then get them up and learning and make sure you debrief afterwards.
Cool.
So that it stays in a tight loop. And Bill Wake from Industrial Logic was actually very influential. He had a really unique way of developing his internal learning that he was doing at a company I used to work at. And so he would literally write the class in the week. So the people that were writing the learning would get together on Monday, do that small circle, the content, the exercise, and the debrief, practice it on two or three different groups, and pivot every time with the feedback after the group, and then on Friday that module was done.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. I was like, that's brilliant. Like, how fun is that? Talk about writing workshops agilely.
Way to be agile.
Yeah, really.
Just incremental.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So we'll get links to all of those resources in the show notes. Thanks for providing those. But it looks like we're going to come up to our time box. So at this point of the show, the floor is yours. So each of you can have the opportunity to promote anything you have going on. You can have the opportunity to tell the audience anything that you think they ought to know, any workshops, any classes, any offerings. The floor is yours. So Billy, if you'd like to go first,
sure.
what would you like to get in front of the listeners?
I think I'd like to get kind of a startup idea that I'd love feedback on. So I'm trying to put together some facilitation cards with that concept of content demonstration or exercises and debriefing. And so I want physical cards that we can lay out on a table and create our visual flow. So if anybody has ideas and wants to contribute to some feedback on a product, like kind of a lean startup focus group idea, that would be great. And my Twitter is at OopslandBilly. So it's at OOPS, oops, LAND. Billy is BILLIE. So Oopsland is a world that I love living in. So if you guys want to know more about Oopsland, please contact me as well, because that's a great world. So
very thanks. Good. Thanks, Billy. Kim, what do you have going on? What should the listeners know about?
Wow. So I'm all over the place, but I love what I do. And we go in and work. We have workshops and training that's a little bit unique. And we work with organizations. RadTech is now in the U.S. Myself and Laura Powers have expanded from the U.K. We're now in four continents, including North America, and we're the co-CEOs of RadTech in the U.S. And great. We're bringing workshops and training all over North America that utilizes training from the back of the room, and it's interactive, it's fun, it is wonderful, especially for leadership retreats as well. My next course for training from the back of the room is being held in Baltimore, Maryland, actually a place right between Baltimore and DC. That course is being held June 26th through the 27th. There's also a discount code for the user groups as well as Women in Agile. And it's about half price because we're going to take training from the back of the room outside of the room. And so this will be a unique course where we are utilizing space outside tapping into our true creativity. And then we're also going to be doing an illustration course. So it's a 3-day certified course right before Agile 2017, forgot what year I was in. Agile 2017. And that course will be held in Orlando, 2 days of training from the back of the room, August 3rd and 4th, and then we'll be doing a illustration through innovation course with Stuart, also from RadTech. Okay. And so that's a lot of fun. You can check us out on Eventbrite. And then if you would like to contact me on Twitter, that's at AgileBrain1, so Agile and your brain, one.
Nice. Well, thank you again for joining me here in Indianapolis. I'm not going to promote anything other than Agile Indy. And so I, again, just very grateful to the board, the organizers. Everyone's just done a beautiful job. It's, you know, I think a lot of people think we get rich speaking, and that's really not the case. I think a lot of us are out of pocket for every talk we go and give, with a rare exceptions. But it's worth it to us. We enjoy the teaching opportunities, the speaking, the interactions. But when organizers like the Agile Indy Group come together and really put together an excellent show, right? Everything from accommodations to the rooms to the setup to the lunches to all that stuff was just wonderful. It just makes it that much more worth it. So my only plug is for Agile Indy. If you if you're in the Midwest and can make it to a meetup, they're excellent. If you can make it to Agile Indy next year, highly recommend it. I think we'll all try to come back too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go Agile Indy.
It's probably one of, by far, my favorites.
Yep.
Yeah.
So with that said, Billy and Kim, thanks for joining me on this episode of Agile for Humans.
Thanks so much for having us. It's been a great time. Yes, Billy,
High
five to all the love.
High five.
Yeah.
Definitely. To the listeners out there, I know I keep saying this, I'm a broken record, the numbers are going up. Really love the fact that you're sharing the show, and just can't thank you enough for being out there. Keep the questions coming, keep the tweets coming. We will have an episode very soon where we collect all those questions and just start running through them. Try to get some of our past guests on to help with the questions, but really appreciate all that, and we will be hitting those soon. So other than that, I'm your host, Ryan Ripley, saying thank you again for being there, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Agile for Humans. Let's keep the conversation going. Drop us a question on Twitter @AgileForHumans or visit agileforhumans.com.